There we go. You're listening to Cross the Border. My website is crosstheborder.org. If you'd like to support this program, you can find instructions there on how to do that at crosstheborder.org, or find instructions how to support firstamendmentradio.com. That's my, I call it my tent-making ministry, following the example of Paul when he was ministering. He also labored when he was available to him to labor and make tents and support his own work and the work that he was doing, Messiah, kind of like double planting, you know, working to labor with his hands and pay his own expenses, and then folding that and also working for the kingdom of heaven, storing up treasure. So I take an example there. And I do labor hard. There's sun up to sun down, but I do also take time to enjoy, as we're reading there, the fruit of my hands, and enjoy the food and the family and the exercise to have a well balanced and life, you know, so that I can remain healthy and serve the Almighty to the best of my ability. There are other ways besides financially serving and supporting this ministry. You could get on the internet. You go to crosstheborder.org, and if you have time, get on the internet and just post Cross the Border articles. We have a lot of good articles there, a lot of good videos from the website. Just copy those URLs and post them on people's walls on Facebook, or email them to other people, and just spread the word about First Amendment Radio and good Bible teaching. At least I hope that's the estimation. Sometimes I feel that it's, you know, that I understand the phrase, the foolishness of preaching the gospel, because I get on here and I don't prepare a sermon. I mean, I do prepare some things, but very few things. It's hard to prepare. It's like, if you want prepared stuff, you know, my videos are prepared, but really what they are is a starting place for you to start your own Bible study into the things that I expose in them. So, you know, each video has a title of what I'm doing an expose on, and I give you some verses to start there so that you can see how I come to the conclusions I come to, and begin your own personal expose or Bible study. So, but support me. You know, there are many ways to support. Get my DVD, you know, and make copies of it freely. You know, copy it. I give permission to everyone. You know, I do ask you to support me and get one copy. I only ask $5. I'll give you the What Year Is It booklet. A copy of my DVD, The Greatest Prophecy DVD, which has all those chapters, and I've added more. I've added some audio programs at the end of me and Tom, if you enjoy those, that give a little more explanation and detail. So you can copy those freely and give them away once you have them. There's no copyright on them or anything. You can copy them with any DVD burner. And like I said, if you're on Facebook, whatever social media you're on the internet, post here, post there, post everywhere. You know, get some interesting articles, some thought-provoking articles, like The Tale of Two Antichrists. That's my most recent article. Take that article, go to my website, you know, click on that article and post that page on people's walls. Post it on your wall. Send it to people in email. Get them thinking about these things. Or send them a link to libertyarchives.com so that they can see the podcast there and perhaps become edified thereby. So there are plenty of ways. You can give your time if you don't. You can tithe your time. If you don't have enough money and you're barely getting by, tithe your time. Give your portion in time. You know, I believe that's acceptable to the Almighty as an offering, and you'll be laboring in His kingdom. So there's no excuses, you know, but labor in His kingdom, store up treasures in it. Not necessarily my ministry. There are other ministries out there that are doing good and saving souls. Well, you know, you can sow the same way to them. Sow in mine, sow in theirs, whichever ones you use. Sow that ministry. If it ministers to you, it'll minister to others. And the Almighty will bless that work. that you're doing. So there are plenty of ways to work in His kingdom. If you have money, you should give. If you have plenty of money, you should give more. If you have no money or very little, sow your time. Go out and minister. Minister where you're at. Reach your family. Don't sit around and watch sitcoms on TV. Shame on you for watching Oprah. What nonsense. You don't have time for that. You've got to work and sow into His kingdom. You know, you're sowing nonsense. It's all vanity and vexation of spirit. No wonder you're destroying yourself and you're getting sickly if you're feeding your soul on all that garbage out there. And there's plenty of garbage out there. I've seen a few minutes of it. That's about all I could endure. It's madness. It's folly. It's vanity and vexation of spirit. So there's your admonition to go and plant in His kingdom. There are no excuses. You can do it. And even if you're just reading His Word, if that's all you can do now is nurture yourself on the milk of His Word, then do that. But seek to serve Him and tell other people about what's happening, about the things you're learning. Spread it around. Sow in His kingdom. Store up a treasure where moth and rust can't corrupt and neither can thieves break through and steal. Nobody can deprive you of that. Just endure in His kingdom and learn obedience and sow and sow and sow, and you will have a treasure that will last forever. Let's pick it back up here in Ecclesiastes chapter 1 verse 1 of chapter 7. A good name is better than precious ointment, and the day of death than the day of one's birth. We've discussed that. It is better to go to the house of the mourning than to go to the house of feasting, for that is the end of all men, and the living will lay it to his heart. Yeah, it's better to go to the house of mourning than to go to the house of the party. You know, that's what they do in the world. You see a lot of them. They have all the party people. That's it. They party, party, party to the destruction of their own flesh. There is a time, going back to, there's a time for every purpose under heaven. There is a time to party. You know, there is a time, a good time for a good party. But most of the partying that goes on out there is evil partying. They're just partying because they're trying to feel something. They're trying to fill the void in their life. They're trying to fill their empty souls that are never filled by no matter how much partying. It's vanity, it's vexation of spirit. So he says, rightly he says, it's better to go to the house of the mourning than to go to the house of feasting. For that is the end of all men. And what is the end of all men? The house of the mourning. That is our end. The day of one's death is better than the day of one's birth. That's what he's saying. It's still long. That is the end of all men, and the living will lay it to his heart. Sorrow is better than laughter, for by the sadness of the countenance, the heart is made better. So there is a reason that sorrow is better than laughter. But some people, by the same sorrow, their heart is made more evil. There are things that happen to all men. The rain falls on the just as well as the unjust. And perhaps I'm jumping ahead. The heart of the wise is in the house of mourning, but the heart of the fools is in the house of mirth. And I guess, you know, there you have it. The house of the mourning and the house of mirth. Nobody mourns all the time. There's a time for mourning, but there are those that party all the time. Or at least that's what they seek to do. And they continually seek a party. And, you know, they're drinking and they're doing drugs and they're smoking pot and they're smoking cigarettes and they're stuffing their faces with food and continually having a barbecue or whatever and beer. Continually, that's the house of mirth or partying. Gets old pretty quick, doesn't it, people? For those of you that practice that or have practiced it or known it well in your past, and hopefully everyone I'm talking to, it's in their past, and still drinking, you know, cracking a six-pack every day after their after their labor, to drown themselves in the fact that they're laboring for nothing, and everything they're laboring for has only one end, and that's vanity and vexation of spirit. Yeah, no wonder they crack a beer or a six-pack and seek a party to drown themselves in mirth after the labor of their day. That's exactly why they do it. And they go to the fellowship of the beer drinkers, or they'd stop at the bar and join the fellowship there to drown the fact that they're not filled, and all their labor brings them no satisfaction, no fruit in it, because it's all vanity, vexation of spirit, because the things that they're laboring for are going to rot under the sun or be left to whoever comes after them. Yes, no wonder they're empty. Sorrow is better than laughter, for by the sadness of the countenance the heart is made better. The heart of the wise is in the house of the mourning, but the heart of fools is in the house of mirth. It is better to hear the rebuke of the wise than for a man to hear the songs of fools. Yeah, that's why they stay. They don't listen to this program. Because I do rebuke, don't I? I try to tell it like it is. And any wisdom I have is coming from this book, from His Holy Spirit, from the Word of the Almighty. I have no wisdom inside myself as if, you know, I'm anything. It is better to hear the rebuke of the wise than for a man to hear the song of fools. And you know, you go out there, you know what I'm talking about, men, women. You go on the work site, and what do you hear? They turn on their radios, and you hear the song of fools. And they fill their heads with that garbage all day. Now, the godly man, he's going to have some good Bible teaching, good prophecy teaching, the Word of the Almighty, or at least the song of praise on his iPod or on his radio. I know that's what I did for years. I'd go on the corporate job site out there, you know, because where I wasn't in control, and they'd have the song of fools. Mm-hmm. And it just grieved me to have to listen to that stuff all day. If I got on my own job site, oh yes, I'd have some good Bible teaching or some good praise and worship on there all day long. No song of fools for me, because it is better to hear the rebuke of the wise. And those ministers, you know, as long as they were using the Word of God, even though some of them may have been lost themselves or fooling themselves, it was the Word of God that does not return void, that does that work, and it would cut. You know, why would someone want to turn that on? You know, because it would cut to the quick and divide asunder between soul and spirit. The Word of the Almighty does that. So even if I'm a fool, even if I'm lost and I'm reading His Word, it can work. So it didn't matter. I listened all day to, you know, J. Vernon McGee and Chuck Smith. I remember going back to the days when I was a carpenter and building on my own job sites what I would have on the radio. But when I would go work for someone else or a company or a commercial job site, that I'd have to listen to, I would have to endure the song of fools. What do you listen to? What do you have on your radio when you're returning from the job site? Is it the song of fools? You know, the country music? You know, I like that joke. What do you get when you play country music backwards? You get back your wife, you get back your house, you get back your car, you get back your children. Song of fools. That's right. That's what it is, the song of fools. What do you love? You love to hear the song of fools, all that romance, all of that. I call it the antics of Rome. That's what romance is. The antics of Rome in gender relationships. Foolishness, the song of fools. For as the crackling of thorns under a pot, so is the the laughter of the fool. Yeah. What a vision, huh? The crackling of thorns. I have to read that again. It's just, that is, the image is so graphic. For as the crackling of thorns under a pot, so is the laughter of fools. This also is vanity. Surely oppression maketh a wise man mad, and a gift destroyeth the heart. So, yeah, makes me mad when I see oppression. It makes me mad. Sometimes I may do something about it, and most of the time there's nothing I can do about it. It is maddening. And a gift destroyeth the heart. Bribes. We're talking about bribes here. A bribe destroys the heart. People are destroyed by gifts. I see it. I see it demonstrated. People are destroyed by gifts. It clouds the judgment. Better is the end of a thing than the beginning thereof. And the patient in spirit is better than the proud in spirit. Yes, hallelujah. Thank you for that patience. And there's the old saying, don't pray for patience. Yes, I've learned that one. I'm never tempted to pray for patience. I think I have enough. If I could just use the patience that I've learned, that will be enough to get me through the rest of my life. Yet still, I learn patience. Yes, I might even say only a fool prays for patience. So I won't fall for that one. Nope. Not. Yes, just. Yeah, if the shoe fits, I guess you could wear it. Because I remember praying for patience. I learned my lesson. Be careful what you pray for. You just might get it. Better is the end of a thing than the beginning thereof. And a patient spirit, the patient in spirit is better than the proud in spirit. Be not hasty in thy spirit to be angry, for anger resteth in the bosom of fools. Yes, words to live by. You feel the anger. You're going to feel it, but don't act on it. That's the lesson here. Be not hasty in thy spirit to be angry. Don't act on that anger. Big trouble. That's when the trouble comes. And that's the test, really. Will you obey the emotion? Will you obey the feelings? Or will you obey the Almighty? Because the feelings and the emotion want you to break His commandment. Or even justify breaking His commandment. You know, like repaying evil for evil. Overcome evil with good. That takes patience. And that takes overcoming your anger. Yes, I'm learning these lessons in life still. These are the harder lessons of life. These are the lessons that come after you learn to, you know, quit smoking and give up fornication. You know, those are the things you're supposed to learn first. The sexual purity, that's the thing that the Holy Spirit comes in your life. And He's going to work on that first. And then He's going to work on all the stupid habits like drugs and cigarettes or whatever. Or He'll work on those kind of simultaneously. But after that come the hard lessons. You know, dealing with your feelings and your emotions and dealing with anger. And, in everyday life, learning to be sovereign, a sovereign man of God by ruling, taking the mastery of your life. Rather than being ruled by your appetite and your emotions, to rule over them. And I do have an article on my website, and it's called Biblical Sovereignty. If you want to know what I'm talking about, go there, look for that article. And while you're at it, post it on your Facebook and everyone else's. And so people can get an idea what it means to be biblical sovereign. It's something that the Almighty calls. Everyone he calls to the highest form of sovereignty available to them. And that is self-government, or as the scripture says, self-control, or moderation is another word that he uses. Temperance. Let your moderation be known to all men. So don't be hasty in thy spirit to be angry, for anger resteth in the bosom of fools. Yes, don't let anger rest in you. Be very uncomfortable with anger. And keep your mouth shut. You know? Don't let it stew either. Don't hold it in your bosom. Say not thou, what is the cause that the former days were better than these? For thou dost not inquire wisely concerning this. Ah, yes, the good old days philosophy. Remember the good old days? You know, people living in the past. So say not thou, what is the cause that former days were better than these? It's foolishness. It's vanity. Remember when things were better? Yeah. People, they nostalgically remember the 50s and the 60s. I say, you know what I remember about the 50s and 60s? The height of idolatry. That's what I remember. You know? The TV programs and stuff. It was the height of idolatry. Yeah, they had all those TV programs and mom and pop and, you know, and all those good morals, but they still left out something. They weren't worshiping the Almighty. You know, where was the godliness? It was hidden and veiled. And they worshiped men. It was the height of idolatry. That's what I see, the good old days, when people nostalgically remember those things. That's what I see. The height of idolatry. Yeah. The good old days. Say not thou, what is the cause that former days were better than these? Hey, remember the good old days? No, these are the days we have. Forget the good old days. Make these the good days. Do good, and these are the good days. Serve the Almighty, and store up treasures in heaven, and do good, and these are the good days. These are the only days we have. The past is past, and the future hasn't come yet. You know, yesterday's gone, and tomorrow ain't here. These are the good days. So, for thou dost not inquire wisely concerning this. Wisdom is good with an inheritance. And I pray that if I do leave anything to my children, that wisdom goes with it. And I know my children listen to me. Mm-hmm. Some of them, I don't know which ones, but I know there's ones right here now listening to me, at least one. And whether she pays much attention, but I know she hears it and it gets into her heart. I have a young one with me. And wish I could get the adults to pay more attention, but you know what the word says, that a prophet is without honor in his own home. So it seems that I'm without honor in my own home. Wisdom is good with an inheritance, and by it there is profit to them that see the sun. The unfortunate thing is that most inheritance is gotten without wisdom, and it's just squandered. For wisdom is a defense, and money is a defense. But the excellency of knowledge is that wisdom giveth life to them that have it. Yes, get wisdom. You know, when I was a young man and I started reading that Bible at 19 years old, and I stumbled upon the Proverbs, and it said that the Proverbs are to make one wise. And I thought, well, you know, I want to be wise. Yeah. Somehow, something in me said, I want to be wise. And so, you know, I wore out those pages, Proverbs. You could tell where Proverbs was in my book, because those pages were a little more tattered than the rest of the book. And that's my advice to all you young men, or anyone who's just picking up the Bible, open it up to Proverbs and wear it out. Understand the meanings of those words. Well, we've run out of time today, so I say, bless the name of the Almighty. Hallelujah.